on the side of Whitaker Mountain. We had to stay out of school in the fall to pick cotton, get up the crops. We'd have to start in the spring this quick as it dried up to plowing. I hardly ever get to attend the full school year. Didn't learn very much. I had to learn a lot myself. I'm going to start a little story, a little something happened to me that changed the course of my life. I went over to Wells's one day, and they said they're digging a grave down at the church. They tell me unless you startle people's mind, they won't remember nothing you say. So I'm going to startle your mind right on the start so you remember the rest that I say. Old men were digging a grave there, and everybody come in and dig the graves. They didn't have no undertakers. They didn't dig no graves. I watched those men dig in the grave, and for some reason there's a grave down under there. The markers have been moved. They dug into the side of this grave, and I looked in the open grave. There wasn't nothing in that open grave but a few, a little bit of black dirt, a few bones, and a few old plank in that grave. And that startled my mind so bad. I see corn and everything else out here in nature. When it got ready to die, it put the little cell of life up in the grains, and it'd go on. Life would keep on going year after year. I studied about a human body. I said, if I could just find something, this is me talking to myself now, about the human body that then the end there in the grave that would live on past that state when it was dissolved in the elements. I said, I'd have a little bit more hopes of the future. So I went on down the road and constantly studying about that for years and years, about that open grave that I'd seen. And I didn't get to go to school myself. When my kids started going to school, I talked with Wiley and all the rest of them as they went on through school trying to learn things. And when Jimmy and Larry and all of them went off to college, well, I started to learn from them. And they'd bring books home, I'd learn from them. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of the things that I learned. And I hope you remember it. And I learned mostly about the things of nature. I always did love the things of nature. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about a little bit. And there's one thing in nature that's the most precious of all things in the world, and it's the most plentiful. I'm going to talk to you about that. What is it? The most precious and the most plentiful thing in all earth. What is it? Things that I learned. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about water. Things I learned about water. The first thing I'll ask you, where did water come from? That's what I put on senior citizen the other night. Huh? Further than that, where did all this water come from? I'm talking about oceans of water and clouds of water and all that water. Where did it come from? It's the oldest thing that you see is water. In Genesis, it said before there's ever a moon, a star, a man, or anything else, that the Spirit of God was moving up on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was moving up on the face of the waters. The Bible said something about the things the Lord created brings man. If he never hears the gospel, there's a certain responsibility, because the thing God created is so great that it brings us to a certain amount of responsibility. And I think if you hear me talk, you'll be a little more responsible to God than you are right now tonight. In nature, you hear a lot of preaching things talking about miracles, wanting to see people healed and all of that. The Bible says it's a foolish generation that looks after signs and miracles. They all around you, in the bee gum, everywhere, in the garden, everywhere. Bigger than me are healing you of some disease. All of nature is a great miracle. You remember that. All right, we're going to start with this water. The thing that Larry told me about water. up at West Point. All right, I'm going to do something right here. I had something dropped off my finger. What was that?
Water.
Well, how much water? A one drop of water. One drop of water. Did you know God made that thing and man can't destroy it? Larry said up at West Point, set this up, Nathan. Up at West Point, with all, they got second best laboratory in the world. They could make a bomb that would go over yonder and blow up a whole city. But they couldn't destroy one drop of water. And to show you what a miracle one drop of water is, man first, he can't destroy it. He hit it with a sledgehammer there. You know what happens? He said the scientists look at that thing, and the bigger magnifying glass they get, or microscope, the more little round balls they see. And he said they estimated that there's as many as a million little tiny balls floating around in that drop of water. That's about on my mind, but that's what some scientists claim. You put that on the railroad track, you know about how much power train got, don't you? You drop that drop of water on, here comes that big train rolling across it. What do you think happened to it? It goes in so many little pieces, it wets the track and wets that wheel and goes flopping on down till it finally flies off. One little drop of water. And nothing in this earth is living without a drop of water. And to show you, before I go any further, how precious it is, here's a glass of water. You throw that out. You don't think nothing about it. You just trample on it. Get shed of it. That nasty filth, get shed of it. But you know, if I could come in here and kidnap your daddy and mother, and I take them off and put them in jail and shut them up where they're helpless, I take the water away from them. The fifth day I go over there and I say, Wiley, you and Louie, how much will you give me for this water? They perishing to death. Say, I'll give you everything I got in the world. They'd deed their house for me. About the sixth day I'd say, what would you give me for this glass of water? Would you give me all them youngins you got? Yeah, I'll give you all my youngins. I'm going to die tomorrow. Somebody's going to have to look at them. The seventh day you're going to die. That's how precious water is, and yet we completely ignore it. And it's something God created, and man, with all of his knowledge, can't destroy one drop of it. And when Larry come home and told me that you couldn't destroy a drop of water, I said, praise the Lord, I found that part of the human body that don't decay in the grave. It can't. And Lydia, how much of your body is water? Over two-thirds of you sitting there, either for her, is water. It's liquid. That's condensed down to water and what it actually is. Most of your blood that's flowing through your brain is water. It's this colored water, actually. The Bible said life's in the blood, but you can say it's actually in the water. Your brain back here is mostly water. According to what they said, Larry said they studied the human brain up there. And back, your memory back there is this millions and millions of them little cells, little round balls, and all your memory is mostly recorded in that water. And that's the reason water is such a sacred thing. And when you drink a good glass of water, don't always remember that's something God created, something man cannot destroy. He can blow up a whole city in one time, but that water, he don't destroy it. You drop it on a hot iron, you know what happens with it? Drop some on the stove in there. It goes in so many little particles, it's gone. And that's constantly going. And I'm going to ask, let me ask you one other thing while we're still on this. I'm going to ask this little glass something here to impress it on your mind. I seen a preacher come to the First Baptist Church in Blacksburg and said, I've been to Holy Land. I got a bottle of water that come out of the Jordan River. I'm going to pour a few drops of that, and y'all can go out and say, I was baptized in water that come out of the Jordan River. How stupid it was, I'm going to ask this little glass of water something. Where you been through all these centuries and eternity? Did you ever run the Jordan River? The Amazon River? The Atlantic? Do you ever float in the Pacific? On and on, I could say, you ask this water, no doubt it's been. I could say, how about some of these old kings and things? Did you ever run through there by that? This water is a sacred thing, and there's no life without water. That's reading it so precious. Is this water? All right, to show you how precious it is and how wonderful God created nature. Can you imagine a bunch of college students going out or sitting around one of these oak trees here studying that oak tree? That's what they had to do at West Point, and they found out that that tree absorbs that water. And great high trees, you see them, I don't care how high the tree is, it's got to absorb this water, little minerals out of the earth gets mixed in with this water. Goes right up on the bark of that tree. We used to say it's the sap of the tree, we ought to say it's the water of the tree, because that's what it is with the little minerals mixed in that picked up out of the earth. And it has to take that water right up yonder to every leaf in that tree. If it misses one, that leaf dies. And that water, the waste, comes right down the little center of that tree. You've seen the path in it. Back down to the earth and on around. How does that tree get all that water way up in the top of the tree? You ever see a pump on the tree, Nathan? Well, you go around and look around them tomorrow and see if you can find a pump that takes all that water up. It goes up that tree. That shows you how magnificent and how wonderful that tree is created. Most people never just, that's a tree. That's all they see. That's a tree. Y'all. Cut that old tree down. They don't realize it. Something God created. And here's a secret of nature that I hope you'll remember. Where did that tree come from? Where did that tree come from? A little cell fell off an acorn off another tree, and life don't begin in no form. Y'all remember that? You didn't begin when you was born in the world. A living cell has to come off of something that's living to reproduce life. That little acorn fell off and fell in the ground. A squirrel went out there on the bed or something. And these big trees in your yard was one time a little acorn, just about that big. And they come on up. And I'm going to explain that a little better by going to something else. I got something right here in my hand. I'll let Nathan tell you what is that, Nathan?
Seed.
What kind of seed?
Squash.
It's a cantaloupe seed. To show you, everybody just look to the seed. That little seed is something God created in the beginning. And y'all can watch this. I worked around computers at the store, and I'm going to bring you language down on computer terms. They got little chips about that big in them computers. A bunch of them in there. And them computers, or you can program them. They program them through them little marks on the stuff there to where they know every can of stuff in that store. And some of them are bragging about these wonderful computers and things we got. You just pass a mark. You ever been to that store? And it adds up the price of that. It knows everything in there. That memory, terrible memory, that little old chip's got. But I told some of them the other day, I said, I got something that's more wonderful than that. That computer, you say, man's made. And I held up this little seed. Do you know what's down inside this seed? God programmed this little seed. And he programmed that thing, so I had one little seed one time. And I took that little seed and put it in the soil and pushed it down in the ground. put a little bit of soil up over it, and it felt that good moist earth around it, them elements in the ground, chemicals in the ground, and the sun come down and warmed that, and it unlocked that program that God put in that little seed. And that cantaloupe, through that program, in 3 months' time, it come up and run vines out everywhere. And it had about 3 cantaloupes on it. And one of them cantaloupes was extra big, about this big, weighed 15 pounds. That little seed on that program that God had in there come up and done all of that. I pulled the cantaloupes off this biggest one. And Mr. Clary, one of my friends, was dying with a cancer, suffering awful. I took it to Blacksburg and took it in there and gave it to him. I said, I'm going to give you a cantaloupe. I said, to get him to do something while he was suffering, going on, get his mind off himself. I said, I've always been wondering how many seed was in a cantaloupe. I never have took time to count them. 2 days later, I walked in the store and he was in there. I said, Mr. Fulton, I counted them seed in that cantaloupe. And I counted them twice so I'd be sure to know how many seed there was. And there was 892 seed in this cantaloupe, plus all the good food he had to enjoy, the rinds to feed to the cows and pigs. And you multiply, bring these other 3 cantaloupes in there. How many seed would you have and how much food? And you hear people talking about, say, people going to be starving in a few years. There's so many people in the world, they ain't going to have nothing to eat. You couldn't tell this little seed that, because this little seed come up and produced that great big cantaloupe and 892 seed. And you know what this cantaloupe done with them 892 seed, Nathan? He programmed them 892 seed to do exactly, and that's one thing the computer can't do. Well, I said they were, this little thing got your computer beat, because he programmed all them other seed there. And we'll say that them other cantaloupes, 3 cantaloupes had 800 seed in them, it'd be 2,500 seed that this little seed produced and programmed every one of them little seeds to do what he had done. And if you'd have took them 2,400 cantaloupes the next year and went out and stuck them in the ground and let their little program come into action, you would have had more cantaloupes the second year than I'd say one of these big trucks could hold that you see riding down this road. And to think how many seed they would program, the wonders of God's creation. So you all remember, when you plant a seed, it's more than a seed. It's something God created back out in the beginning, programmed, and they're coming right on down to you and me, are programming this. And always remember this, life don't start. It come down from eternity. It goes from one living cell to nothing, like this little cantaloupe, to reproduce life. The life was in this little cantaloupe, went huddled up in the other 892 seed, and all that vine and everything went back the way to food and waste and back to the dust, and that's going on down through the world. So always remember, a seed is more than a seed. It's something God created. And this little seed has got some little particles of water in it. If it didn't have, when you lay this seed around for a year or two, them little particles of water that's inside of moisture leaves it. The life leaves this little seed. There's nothing living without water. All right, I'm going to tell you about another thing, story about another seed. I walked in Vassar Harden store at Grover, Wiley knows where it is, one spring, and he said, I bought the Champion pumpkin. Wiley remembers this. The champion pumpkin up at the fire, and it weighed over 100 pounds. That I'm going to give you a seed or two. Well, I think he gave me two or three seed, and them seed was about as big as my thumb. We was working some good land out at Raymond Neal's, and we went out there and punched these seed down in the ground, this pumpkin seed. And it was programmed just like that 100-pound pumpkin. And a little old, we planted that and come out, a little old pumpkin come out there on a little old blossom. After the blossom fell over, it started growing, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, we took that, pulled it when it turned yellow, and I took it up to Bobby Hambright's store at Grover to weigh it, and it weighed 78 pounds. You see this little pumpkin seed about as big as my thumb? It had pushed out how much more than its weight out there on them vines and there's other little pumpkins too around there. But this one took most of the strength of the vine. And I read where one person said, I believe it was Shattuck Wiley, that there wasn't no bigger miracle than what happened in the little program that God programmed in that little pumpkin seed, the way it went out there and picked up all that color to place around in there, all that skin to go around the color in the skin and everything. Where did all that come from? He said, if you had run, do y'all ever see a sawdust pile? He said it was a miracle. It's big if you go down and see a sawdust pile, look at that sawdust pile, and you come back. And that sawdust pile out of itself was turning into a house, and you kept coming back down there. And finally, that sawdust had just turned into a big, beautiful house. It wasn't no bigger miracle than happens in that little spell of pumpkin life. And watermelon, we got a little watermelon seed here, is programmed just exactly like that, because that's what they have to do. Computers is programmed them to do things. And God programmed this little watermelon seed, and Wiley might remember this. And I'll ask y'all this like I did then. We used to plant the watermelon seed down like this, maybe an acre of them back when we was farming. And that little seed's program would wake up. And I used to take Wiley and them when they was little, all my children, we'd get a big watermelon, weigh about 20, 25 pounds. I'd take my knife and cut it all square and lay the watermelon over, and I'd pick up the little nub there where we cut it off of. I said, come here, kids. I said, I want you to look and see if we can find the hole. How in the world did this big watermelon come out through that little stem? You know how big they are? And get out here like this. There must be a little hole in here somewhere where it come out there. But that little watermelon, cantaloupe, and pumpkin had that soil water out there in that ground. And that water absorbed up them little minerals. And it come running down that stem, in that stem and out there, and them little chemicals and that water in there through that program colored that watermelon up, colored it up, manufactured all them seed out in there. And what greater miracle of manufacturing could you ever find than that, what's happening?
Put all that sugar in
it. Even sweeten it up with that sugar. And to impress these women about the things of nature, I'm going to tell this story to them. They go out here in the garden, we do at home, in old red ground. Y'all seen the dahlias we grow, haven't you? We put them dahlias down in that old red ground. And them dahlias is so programmed. And I got an idea who programmed them dahlia bulbs, don't you, Lydia? Put them down in that ground, and we'll say, here comes up six, right out of that old same red ground. This one comes up, and he manufactures white dahlias. Where'd all that white come from? Out of that old red ground down under it. And over here, there's another come right up out of that ground, red ground, and he manufactures red, real dark red. And all the different colors comes right up out of that ground there. Do you know of a bigger miracle that they down there absorbing the same water, the same minerals, and everything in the ground down under them? And they come up here, they make all these different colors, the wonders of nature around us and some of the miracles. And to stop it all, it's harvest time now. And when you garden, it's harvest, and you pull all your watermelons, you pull all the corn, you pick all your beans, you pick everything to show you some of the wonderful things out here in nature that God did. You watch them vines and things down there. Somebody's garden riding along the road where they don't do nothing with the corn, just leave it standing. You know what will happen to that corn, Nathan, if you leave it standing there? Does it just keep on standing there? This bacteria and the enzymes and things in the earth will start eating on them roots. Directly that stalk will fall over. And the sun will dry all that water we've been talking about out of the stalks of that plant. And then the other things will just eat it up and clean it up. So you can have another garden next year. And if that process would stop, you go down the garden a few years and you wouldn't have nothing but rubbish around there. You couldn't even get to your garden because of all that rubbish. And to show you some of the wonderful things of nature, I want you to remember that it's a wonderful and a great God that we have. He's a wonderful creator because he created all these things. And locked within that program to bring forth after their kind, and from the Garden of Eden on down to now, all these seeds and things that these program and vines are carrying out, that program that God programmed into them back yonder in the beginning. And before I close, I'm going to tell you this, and I hope you'll remember this. Nate, I'm going to hit you on the head to wake you up so you'll listen. There wasn't but one thing that God didn't program like that. The cattle out here is all programmed. The seeds all programmed. The fish and everything in the sea. They're doing exactly what God told them. There's only one thing on the face of the earth that God didn't program. What's that? Absolutely, it's people. You know who's going to have to program Nathan? You know who's going to have to program Liddy? Who's going to have to program John? God ain't going to do it. You know who's going to have to do it? You are going to have to program yourself. I had to program myself for things I'm going to do. It's not programming into you to automatically do good. You're going to have to, in other words, I wouldn't be surprised if it ain't programmed in you to do the other way, since Satan's had a hold of your descendant. So you better think about life seriously and think how much God's around you and how he's created his water if you drink. Man can't destroy it. And I'm going to close in just a minute, and we'll let Wiley lead us in prayer so to give us the grace and strength to program ourselves. Because I still have to try to program myself. And that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to program yourself, and you can't do it without asking the Lord to help you and give you the strength to program your life according to his will. I said that water was such a precious and wonderful thing. It comes on down through the Bible. Job said that the Lord was riding up on the wings of the cloud. The Lord's been always associated closely with the water. And the one part of your body that don't stay in the grave. And I didn't want to bury Jimmy and Deborah in the vault for this reason, and I didn't want y'all to bury me if you can get it done without a vault. Because that 67% of your body Have you ever seen anybody old and wasn't nothing skin to bone? What happened to most of their bodies done gone? I've seen old people where 2/3 of their body are done gone. Where'd it go to? That's a good example. Blanche Wells. Where'd it go to? You get old, your body quits retaining that water. And your body is constantly renewing the water in you. The same old water don't stay there when you keep going. Your body is the greatest miracle that God ever created. And that body just leaches on, that water just leaches on out of them. They get to where there ain't nothing but skin and bones. And a lot of people, when they're buried, there's not nothing there but skin and bones. Part of their body is done gone. So why not just bury anybody and let their water out of them go on back in the water channels of the world to keep on traveling around? The water purifies, the earth purifies that water that comes out of your body, or you throw it out, you leave all that dirt in the ground, the water seep on down. Did you ever go to a filter plant where you get your water? The town gets its water. You know how they clean that water? They pump it out of a river. I've been to one of these plants, of water where this is muddy, come right out of the river, muddy as mud could be. They got 18 inches of gravel and sand and dirt down there that's like this earth. So you run that water in there and it seeps down through that dirt and rock and go down the cistern where that water is. I looked at one 15 feet deep after it soaked down through this, and it was so clear you could have seen a needle on the bottom almost. It's that clear when it comes out. So the earth is always cleaning that water. Stream running down, that sand is always cleaning all the filth out of that water. And it's pure, and you go on out in the ocean, a place where the water is pure and clear. So that 67% of you not burying the vault or something, of your body, it won't stay in the grave. It seeps on down through the earth and on into water channels of the universe. And God, all through the Bible, is closely associated with water. And then I'm going to close with where God, the Bible closes with God is sitting. You know where it is? It said over in Revelation, the New Jerusalem come down. It said, they saw the throne of God and of the Lamb. And right out of that throne, under it, come out rivers of waters of life that flowed out towards the ends of the earth. We find that God and the Son are sitting over that river, and it's flowing out towards the ends of the earth. The tree of life is growing along the edge of that bank. And that's the reason water is such a wonderful and sacred thing. So whenever you plant a seed from now on, it's more than a seed. It's something God made and created. And I might tell you this story, and we'll end. I knew a scientist that talked to a preacher, and he didn't believe in God. He wrote all about had rocks and things. He said he could prove that time was long before the Bible gave record of it, back for thousands, millions of years. And the preacher said he never did do no good at changing that man. And one day this scientist come to him with about 10 grains of corn in his hand. And he said, I made 5 of these grains of corn. God made the other 5. Said, you tell me which one of these grains of corn God made and which one I made, according to you. That old preacher told him, said, just let me have them grains of corn for 3 days and come back and I'll tell you the ones you made. And he said he couldn't tell no difference in the grains of corn that growed out in the field and what that man had made. He said, you come back in 3 days and I'll show you the ones you made and the one God's made. And you know how he was going to tell this?
Well,
he was going to put them in that moisture. And sure enough, the one that God made, this little program of life started, the one he made, laid in the ground. And life is beyond, the creation of life is beyond man. They can't create it. They can imitate it. They can do things with it. But still, that's something that's in the hands of God. is alive, and we ought to rejoice in that. So I want to tell you all that little story about the wonderful miracles, and it ought to make your life mean more to you from now on as you go living day by day. You do without water all day someday, and first you can the next day and see how thirsty a person can get in 2 days. The second day, where if you do without water, Lydia, you'll lose all desires for everything else but one thing, and you know what that is. You say, Lydia, let's go enjoy the show. I don't care nothing about no show. Let's go enjoy this. Nothing will satisfy me but water. And all these other drinks is mostly water. You go drink a Coca-Cola, it's mostly water, just flavored water. And a lot of things you eat is water. That shows you how much water us human beings have to keep our bodies going. Always remember that's something God created. And man not destroy one drop of it. I'll say again, amen, when I couldn't found out that man couldn't destroy a drop of water. He could change it into other things, but he couldn't destroy a drop of water.